Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. I am at Joel Pearl, or thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. And it's time for your TNA Impact post-show for March 27th, 2025. I'm flying solo tonight because our pal Cresta decided that she wanted to go fly with the circus instead. But she's having a great night. We've been talking throughout. She's enjoying herself. So you get me tonight. I hope that's okay. We're going to go solo. I don't know how long we'll last. But of course, if you want to last, no, that's a different one. If you want to have more on the conversational front, though, and if you want me to go longer than maybe I plan to go, well, there are ways to do that. There are ways to support that. We're going to talk more about that. TNA Tonight, not a bad show. There were some very surprising things that happened. They're finished up with the El Paso tapings. They're going to be in Missouri for tapings tomorrow and Saturday. And there's going to be a couple talent that will not be there. Therefore, for 4 weeks, you won't be seeing a couple of people that are normally on the show. And we'll get into that as well. And of course, the news dropped earlier this week, Fightful Select and others, that Gail Kim and Gail Kim, Ariel Schneer, Rob Kligman, Michael Shuchenko, and others have departed TNA. A lot of people feeling a lot of ways about those departures, especially Gail Kim. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I know you guys want to have a conversation about what that means and what is or isn't happening as a result of this, but we're going to see, because this isn't the first time TNA has lost popular people in management. This is the first time, though, that they've lost someone to this degree, where there have been some people within the company saying that they might not stick around afterwards. But we'll get into that. First, I want you to get into a thumbs up on this video, okay? Because that always helps us. That's a free way to help us. And you can also subscribe to Fightful. You can do it here on YouTube. That's one way to do it if you want to do the free 99 route. There's also membership tiers here on YouTube where you get some advanced content. I know people like that. I know people like advanced content. I do too. And you can get it. And some stuff that you won't even get on the other service that we offer that we talk about all the time. And that's Fightful Select. You get tons of news, tons of notes, but sometimes the extra video content hits this YouTube membership feed too that you don't see. So go ahead, think about that. And of course, you can donate a super chat any amount, get your question or your statement read on the air. Ricardo starts us off saying, "Hi, Joel. Hello, chat. Hello, chat. Hello, Ricardo. How are you all doing tonight? Hopefully it's good times. It's a Thursday. You got to be feeling good on a Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday, going into a weekend. If you're in the chat and you're going to the TNA tapings, let me know. Let the chat know. I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope you're going to have fun. If you're going to TNA Unbreakable over WrestleMania week, let me know. If you're going to a TNA Rebellion in LA, or maybe you're going to go to Irvine for the TV tapings, let us know, or drop a message in the chat. Drop a comment on the video. That always goes a long way. We mentioned Super Chats. You can go to HumperChats.com if you want to give us a little bit more of the piece of the pie and maybe have a few more characters for the money you spend. That is one incentive to use HumperChats.com. It is another platform that you can use to support us here, which we always appreciate. I like to say we are self-funded here at Fightful. So go ahead and help us out. You'll get a little bit of water from me. So give me a sec. Sorry for the dead air. That's what we do. Where do we want to start tonight? Do you want to talk about the show? Because I had a very fun time watching here on Sportsnet, because I am in Canada here in Toronto, and they didn't open with what everyone else saw. We actually opened midway through the Eric Young versus Ace Austin match, and I'm sitting there watching my screen and saying, what happened? What changed? What do we do? And then it turned out that they had just aired the wrong segment. I don't know why. They were still starting on the right time. They were still 8 p.m. Eastern. But for some reason, Ace Austin versus Eric Young, second half of that match is what we saw. But then they went back and they fixed it. Everything was fine. That's the good news. But there was actually a pre-show promo, one that had been taped. They decided to air it over on socials, which is something that I'm kind of a fan of when it comes to TNA. And I know other companies do it. I know AEW does it. WWE does it. This has become pretty normal. TNA doesn't normally do like a pre-show video, though, like this. This was a promo that was filmed in front of the live audience in El Paso with the system. The system comes out, and it's essentially all of them looking frustrated. They look like failures. Eddie Edwards is leading the segment and says he's upset that they keep losing matches, but he's not the one losing them. He's blaming it on Brian Myers. He's blaming it on JDC. He's saying, "Moose, you lost to Obafemi at NXT Roadblock. You know, yeah, you defended your TNA X Division Championship in a ladder match, but you were scared the whole way through. So if you're going to be afraid of heights and afraid of losing, it's time to face your fears. And so he went to go speak to Santino, and Edward Edwards got Santino to put Moose in an X Division Championship Ultimate X match. So Ultimate X is coming back at Rebellion. And then next week, they alluded to the public system firing. And all I can think of was, I think Edward Edwards is about to get a babyface turn. And this is what Cresta Starr talked about last week. Cresta was talking about how she'd never really experienced the Edward Edwards babyface turn. And she's got TNA Plus. She can go back and watch it. We kind of bantered about it last week, how, you know, there's an Edward Edwards babyface turn that exists. It's been out there. We've seen it. And feel how you will. He was kind of a victim of circumstance when it came to why he was a babyface. But if this is what they're going to do, I'm not against it. I think it's a good way to get Eddie Edwards a different perception, a different presentation. Don't know what happens to Lish, because he was equally threatening to his wife as he was to the rest of the system. But that's what happened before Impact even went on the air tonight. So I give TNA full marks for at least putting something extra out there. I don't know if that's because they realized they had so many backstage pre-tapes or something else that they needed to shift off the show so that they can get to this, or I don't know what it was, but it worked, at least for me. Let me know in the chat. Maybe that was good for you. Maybe you were just really confused. I don't know. I see people in the chat talking about the Sportsnet confusion. They did pick it up. They fixed it. It was just in the moment I was like, why am I watching the middle match? I thought for a minute that maybe I missed a programming note, and then nobody said, you know, to TNA that Sportsnet's going to air the show an hour early for some reason. Regardless, got taken care of. That's all that matters. So we get into the actual Impact. The Elegant Sisters defeat NXT's Gigi Dolin and Tatum Paxley. I made fun of this last week. The fact that they had Dolin and Paxley come out and be this tag team that suddenly deserves to have the notice of the Knockouts tag division. And I said, they've never won a match, at least on TV. So it was nice of NXT to clean that up on Tuesday by giving Dolin and Paxley a tag team victory over the Meta Girls on NXT this past week. Okay, sure, it was fine. There was more chemistry in this match, I think, than there was against the Meta Girls on Tuesday, which was funny because one match happened a week or a few days ago, and the other one happened 2 weeks ago. But they got through it. I like Ariana Grace on commentary. I say this every week. She continues to be very well developed as a character. This liaison thing she does, she knows it. She understands it. I wouldn't be surprised to hear if she's getting coached by, I don't know, Santino for some reason. Don't know why I'd pick him, but he's the guy. And I like that she mentions her past with Gigi Dolin. They were best friends. They worked together. And then Gigi went to go work with Tatum Paxley, who's a little weird. And she's still a little hurt by it. But I like that she kind of plays that up. But yeah, they do a lot of really good tag team stuff in this match. Paxley and Dolin do the front chancery dropkick spot, which I like. Tom Hannifin shouting out Rockstar Spud, who still works for WWE, by the way. He still works in the creative department. He's involved, if you know Rockstar Spud, Drake Maverick, as he was known in WWE, big time in TNA. So I like that they were kind of shouting that out. Paxley gets knocked off top rope by Iceman. Sorry, if you don't know who that is, that's the personal concierge. She's also known as George Iceman. He used to be the backstage correspondent / inside scoops. He was a weird character. Let's just face it. This is when he was in Impact. Anyway, now he's the personal concierge. It's different. Ash hits rarefied air, which people very rarely kick out of, and this was a case where nobody kicks out. She wins the match. Post-match, the cake is out. The beat cakes are out. Ash is going to get her wish. The Elegance is get in front of the cake. They start to blow it out, and Tatum and Gigi knock out. But they do a meeting of the minds between the Elegance. Heather gets knocked out, and then Ash gets put into a cake because, of course, that's what you do. Bless that woman. She will do anything for the bit. She will do anything for wrestling. Do love Ash by Elegance. I know she's not everyone's cup of tea, but I think if you really understood how much work she puts into this, then you will come out really appreciating her. There are a lot of people on this roster, especially, that I notice. They do the extra mile, but for some reason, they're just hated, and I don't get it. Backstage after the match, Ash is upset. She's got cake all over her face. God bless. And she says she's going on vacation. I hear Australia is lovely this time of year. She's going to work WSW. She won't be there. She's already in Australia. She won't be at the tapings. So that's 4 weeks of content that she won't be on. She'll probably be involved at Unbreakable, definitely at Rebellion. Nick Nemeth is also on this tour. That's something that I'm not in love with. And I said it when he was TNA champion and he did this. I wish TNA and WSW could kind of get their shit together on that level, because it's become a few times now where some of their top talent is going somewhere during taping. And these are TV tapings. These are tapings that are normally 4 weeks worth of content for the station. And like, I get it. Nick then does the, he'll do the selfie video or whatever and send it in. And like, sure. But you, they're not in the audience. They're not doing promos. They're not there. They just figure it out. And I know that Heather and Iceman are going to be fine. I know that it's going to be good, but it's going to be a series of like Heather by Elegance matches. Maybe down the line, you can have her get upset about that. She got hung up to dry. She, you know, they lose the tag championships at the first opportunity. And Heather just says, well, you ran away. And then that starts a feud. But I don't even want Ash and Heather to break up. I know that's kind of like the thing to do with women's tag teams, but I would rather they stick together. And with Nick, it's like, we'll talk about that in the main event, but like, they just got put into a major match at Rebellion. And that is what this set of tapings is going to cover the story of. Don't love it, but Cressa Starr is here, as she always is. She's not here. She's paying attention. I appreciate you. Miss you, dog. Miss you every day. See you next week, I'm sure. Actually, will I be here? We'll figure it out. My mother's coming to visit, so I don't know where I'm going to be. You might get library jolted next week. We'll see. Leon Slater's with Gia Miller, calls himself the new Lord of Extreme. It's a good promo. The typical, you know, I'm the baby face. I'm going to go out and win, get revenge for the people that have taken out my friends, blah, blah, blah. Chavo Guerrero teams with Laredo Kid and Octagon Jr. to defeat Frankie Kazarian in First Class. Chavo Guerrero looks fantastic. He looks great. Everybody doing the Eddie Guerrero chants or taunts. Sure. Okay. It's cute. It's funny. But Chavo really getting that. He gets the three amigos on AJ Francis. That ruled. Hits a gory bomb. And the frog splash on Casey Navarro to get the win. The match is great. Shout out to AJ Francis, powering both Octagon Jr. and Laredo Kid into what they're calling the world's strongest wasteland slam, I guess. AJ Francis, I mentioned this on Blue Sky. He is a curious case in wrestling. People don't understand. AJ doesn't need this. AJ doesn't need wrestling, but he does it because he's passionate about it, because he loves it, because he's good at it. He's good at being a character. He's good at talking trash. Got that from football. He's an athletic dude. He doesn't need to be super duper high flyer, but like, he's good at what he does. He's entertaining as all hell. He's also legitimately a nice person. I don't understand the hate that he gets. And we've talked about it, Cressa and I have, that he gets shat on for the weirdest reasons. Now there's all the stuff. If you saw the interview with Swerve on Vlad TV, and now he spoke to our dude Adrian Hernandez recently, did AJ Francis, where like he talked about his experience and why he's choosing to speak and give his side of things. And AJ, again, he's one of those dudes who, he's a very, how can I put it? He's a very strong personality. So I understand why some people are maybe rubbed the wrong way by him. I would understand that. I know a lot of strong personalities, and I'm just kind of, but like he's still very eloquent. He's very well-spoken. And again, I think he gets a bad rap. I think he's actually tremendous, both as an entertainer and just as a human. You hear some of the actual stuff that he does, and he doesn't tout it very often unless he's like to that point. So again, I give my flowers to AJ Francis enough. You don't need the inflated ego, big dog. I know it. But the point is, he is a guy who can go, and he's a guy who does it for love of the game. And I appreciate it. And this was a good match. I'm sure he loved taking those three amigos from Chavo. I'm sure of it. I'm sure when it was pitched to him, he was like, hell yeah, let's go. He loves the game. That's great stuff. But Chavo, again, Chavo looked great. It was good to see him, you know, back in TNA since what, 2012, 2013. That's a pretty good time.
Is it good to see me?
Yeah, it's always good to see you. How you doing?
Doing very good. I don't always have like a big reason to pop onto the post-TNA show. As I realize, I need both lights on. By God, I got to do this professionally.
here on the TNA post show.
It's Thursday, not so much. If it were a Sunday post show on the pay-per-view, different story.
See, I always have to use my dimmer switch because this thing like beams behind my head.
Yep.
As if the Coke rumors weren't bad enough. Like, I just beams beyond my head. But oh man. So it's been a busy week. And again, I don't know how much of this you covered right here. We've covered it extensively on a number of other shows, but there is some modern day stuff that ties into all this. And if anybody has super chats, humper chats they want to send in about this, we did cover this stuff extensively. We had a bunch of stuff on Fightful Select about it, but the TNA firings, and I mean this sincerely, I was more shocked that Gail Kim was fired than Vince McMahon stepped away. And I say that because the circumstances surrounding Vince, Gail Kim is one of the most shocking firings in wrestling history with the context that I have about her respect level within that company. Listen, we know the drill with TNA, and you know, maybe they won't give me an interview for a while because of it, but we know their thing. Like, they fire somebody, they get some bad publicity, they announce a signing. It's just that this today they signed a talent who, quite frankly, for the last year, when somebody has said who should be signed, Maggie Lee is the number one name that I have. And they signed her, but they signed her 2 months ago, and it was Gail Kim that signed her, to the point to where she even said, absolutely true, that's what happened. So these firings that unfolded, a lot of people are going to know Gail Kim. A lot of people think she was involved with creative. She was not involved with creative. She would push for creative. She was agenting matches. She was in talent relations. And she is, as I had mentioned before, an automatic in to have a conversation with any women's talent in the world because everybody likes her. Everybody respects her. Now, I'll tell you what's interesting. The number of current WWE women's talent that I have realized has never even met Gail Kim because Gail was out of WWE well before they got there. Like, there is a plethora of WWE talent that has never worked with her, doesn't really have any interaction with her, and are now like, well, we would like to see her over here if she is everything she's cracked up to be. I know that Stephanie McMahon and her didn't have like a great relationship because of some of the things that Gail had said about Stephanie not championing women's wrestlers. I think that's what Bill Apter alluded to, but that's what that was. But Gail, completely separate of all that, I've said as much about the Gail thing as I can outside of, you know, I want to clarify what it was that she did. She wasn't in creative there. She would push for things. She would push for things to be more professional, but there's a whole lot of people in that company that a lot of people don't know about. And I thought Mike Gilbert did a really good job highlighting a lot of those names on Twitter. So I want you guys to check that out. But we've been working on a story as well. As I drink professionally out of my matching cup. But one was a guy that we had in Toronto in an in-studio interview 6 years ago, Sebastian Suave, who was familiar and worked in every facet of pro wrestling possible because he runs his own company. Like, booking, wrestling, promoting, marketing, all that stuff. I believe that Mike Gilbert's thread referred to him as the Swiss Army knife because he'd done everything in wrestling. He was familiar with everything in wrestling. I sat down and had one conversation with him and was blown away by him. Another one, which is kind of funny, was Raphael Morphy, of whom I got kayfabed on for a number of months. Last August, someone from AEW said, I believe Raphael Morphy is working with TNA. And for a number of months, I was told, no, he's not. No, he's not. It's because his non-compete wasn't up. That's what was going on there. He was a consultant. Now, there were some people that hinted at me. Maybe it was because he ended up booking that UBS Arena show that ain't doing too hot. And they said, yeah, but what about Dallas, El Paso, San Antonio, the USC shows?
This is what's interesting to me, by the way. And what's funny, by the way, with Raffy Morphy was that the first time I heard he was doing stuff with TNA was going into Sacrifice. That's when they started kind of putting a little more into that. UBS, everyone that I've spoken to, they don't think that it's on a failing level or that it's in a bad position per se, because the general feeling is, as long as we do better than the last time we ran that show, we're good. And the Slammiversary, which is the show they're doing at UBS, when they did it in Montreal, yes, they sold out, but it was a 4,000 seater. If they can do 5,000, they'll be over the moon. They're not there yet, but like, they are going to throw things at the wall.
And they are. They certainly are.
Yeah. Like we said, they'll do a Hardy Boys car crash match. They'll have the integration with NXT. They'll do, you know, I've said this a billion times on this podcast. This show is the crowning of Santana as the champion. And at this point, the story of doing Ali as champion, walking in and going with Santana, that for the TNA fans who have been following, that's the moment for them. There's so much there. So for me, when I hear you say, and the reporting being maybe UBS, you know, falls on Rafi, I don't see it as a failure. But again, I don't know what the tickets will be like 3 months from now.
Yeah, I agree. And I was told that they're planning on trying to do a lot of stuff like that. Delirious is heading up creative in TNA. I thought he got a bad rap in ROH for a lot of that. We'll see how he does. Tommy Dreamer effectively replaced Gail Kim in the talent relations role, but is still doing creative there. There's Rob Kligman, who has been chief revenue officer since last summer, which, from what I understand, their revenue has increased since then. There's Romy Glazer, who a lot of people do not know, but she made her impression felt very quickly among the staff and the roster there. And I mean, like, she was up till 2, 3 a.m. with the Hardy Boys doing their meet and greets and all that stuff. I asked who was in charge of that email list that ended up growing. I noticed they were sending out a lot more stuff. I said Romy Glazer had a big part of that. They ended up sending out like 13 million emails to people to promote stuff. She took over a lot of the responsibilities that the former Louis Dangerously from ECW was leaving behind. Helped with the Vita Coco, the Blacksmith, the PCO Burger stuff. Like, she helped with a lot of that as well. Ariel was the interesting one. Ariel is a person who I had told had worked his way up, like, straight from the bottom. And John Pollock was like, I worked with this guy and he did Raw recaps, which should show you, you start off somewhere. I did hear there were some issues when he went to NXT, like, specifically a couple of talent didn't want him in the locker room. And I don't know if it's like they didn't like him, but they're like, he's not supposed to be in our locker room type of thing. And there was a situation where Shawn Michaels had to correct him on some stuff, from what I understood. I'm sure Shawn would downplay that because Shawn's a pro, but that I had heard that a lot as well. But these are puzzling firings to a lot of people. Most people, when Carlos took over, thought that Ariel would leave. They thought that Ariel would kind of be pushed out in that sense. I was told. I see that on Mike's post that doubled the TNA Plus subscriptions as well, which is another thing that I was. I get the feeling we got some information from a similar person at least, but it's tough to. It's tough to understand some of these. And what's weird to me is you'll see TNA Mecca is alive and well. It is alive and well. The number of people left. that are like, very funny. But the way that some people are like, oh, well, it's a business. Listen, it's the stupidest shit. Come on. You ain't got it. You don't work for them. Even if you're under every single TNA post or every single post period pushing TNA stuff, you don't work for them. These people did work for them, and the other people that worked for them are like, what's going on? You had a ton of Knockouts publicly expressing their disdain. A male star there told me they were leaving when their deal was up because of it. But, like, listen, if I can't imagine doing like a bunch of firings when our numbers dip from people that are working hard to make our numbers not dip. These Romy Glazer is a person you want on your team. Gail Kim is a, this is like the prom queen getting dumped by the kid that got swirlies. You should feel glad. You should feel fortunate that Gail Kim was working for your company, probably at a discount.
Well, you saw the post from David Penzer. We talked about, yeah, we talked about in 2020 during the pandemic, they had a meeting with Ed Nordholm via video screen. And he basically said, Ed said, I want Gail to be full-time with us, offered her the deal. She had been working, you know, on whatever they were working on. She wasn't full-time. And they said, we want you here. And they got it.
Yeah.
They got her. It was baffling, especially when she said, 17 years, Sean. That's a long ass time. You mentioned, you know, there are a lot of WWE talent who never worked with her. Well, that's because she spent more time in TNA and Impact than she did anywhere else.
It's
wild.
And in no situation is having three presidents in a calendar year a good thing for a company. That doesn't scream corporate synergy. And how many people have you heard near the top of TNA over the last 6-7 years? Like, if you want to go back to the Dixie, over to the Jeff Jarrett again, go the GFW combination, there's Scott D'Amore, there's Carlos Silva, there's Ed Nordholm, there's Ariel, there's, gosh, a few others that have just popped in and popped out and all that stuff. And I know one of the things that Gail pushed big on was stories. She wanted better stories for people. And I really sat down and thought about it. And I was like, I can't name beyond one hand, like, all time great storylines in TNA history. Like, I really, like, Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle. That was more of a wrestling centric feud. And I'm just like, the Main Event Mafia, they were a great faction. I don't know that they had a great storyline. And I feel like that's one of the things that TNA is lacking. And I know it's something that she pushed on, but she is going to continue in wrestling. There has been immediate interest in her. And I know that she is motivated to show them that they made a bad decision.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Because they did. And it's, again, they did the same thing with Scott when they let him go. They had TV, or they had a special, you know, a week later. And this is the same situation they're running into again. They have tapings tomorrow night, the next night. First time everyone will be under one roof again, and we'll see what they do. The team will rally. The team will work, but it's different every time you do this stuff. And when you lose someone like Gail and all the reporting again that people are saying I may not stick around after this, that means something. And that should mean something to people who are paying attention at TNA and at Anthem.
And I mean, They've lost a lot lately. They lost over the last 6 months, Josh Alexander, Jordan Grace, and Speedball Mike Bailey. Woo, buddy. That is a lot of loss for your company. You know, some of the older guys and the ones that don't stand out, whatever. Like, listen, Maggie Lee is a phenomenal signing. The fact that Maggie Lee wasn't already under contract to AEW or NXT and that you were able to sign her is a miracle. A miracle. So great job making sure that she's signed. She'll probably get Brittany Brooks signed too. The fact that Brittany Brooks was probably at a bunch of tapings with Chris Bay and didn't get signed, that's a miracle. J-Rod should have been signed 6 months ago. Like, they should already be on these people. Because, I mean, if they're not signed anywhere, they will at least sign with TNA because you know it puts them on the radar. But, like, those are three really big pieces to lose. And then, arguably, the biggest backstage piece in your company, I can't say ever, Jeff Jarrett was pretty influential there, but like, I would say this, the biggest selling point from a backstage perspective of joining your company that you have ever had, how often is your talent relations head a point where people go, damn, I want to work for them. I want to work for them. When I started in wrestling media, I worked for Bill Apter because I knew I could learn a lot, and I knew that name dropping him would get me in anywhere. I knew it was a golden ticket. With Gail Kim, that was TNA's golden ticket to, all right, you want to talk to J-Rod? You want to talk to Brittany Brooks? You want to talk to Maggie Lee? How about somebody in Japan? How about talking somebody out of retirement? You want to get them back? Okay, Gail Kim will have that conversation, and everybody maintains a level of respect for her. Not only that, a year and a half ago, she ended her retirement to do a multi-person tag on Impact 1000. She, years ago, did her final match with somebody who, again, at the time, looked like she was really putting her stamp on, and it didn't age well. She's given her legacy to TNA. She sacrificed her WWE career, and as she rolled out of the ring, you best believe she knew she was going back to TNA in WWE.
Gave herself a damn concussion at that Impact 1000 taping, too.
There you go. And listen, I am glad, as we have Dex saying to Gail, talk to Jazz, I almost guarantee it, but I'm glad they have Jazz there as well. Jazz is a great person to have. TNA, honestly, so I want to dunk on this fucking idiot, this idiot. First off, SRS has said Gail Kim is fired. She was probably the one leaking information to him. Oh, man. If you only knew, my friend, if you only knew the way that trying to get information out of Gail Kim goes, and it would usually end immediately with, I'm not a stooge, with a smiley face. But you source guessing fucking dope, which, by the way, I just want to say this, 95, and Joel knows who some of my sources are, 95% of source guessing is categorically wrong. Just categorically wrong. I had people saying that noted dirt sheet hater Adam Copeland was feeding me news. I was told in WWE and AEW, listen, all due respect, it was like pulling teeth to even get him to do Busted Open Radio. He does not like doing wrestling media. He won't be rude to us, but he doesn't like doing wrestling media. And I would have people say, well, that would never happen in real sports. Then I see Jordan Schultz talk about how he was out to dinner with the Bengals' top two wide receivers discussing the terminology that they would use in his breaking news tweet revealing their contracts. You guys, especially this dope, don't have any idea how the job is done. Any idea? Somebody says, we all know you game with Roman every Tuesday. Boy, that would be fun. Listen, hold on. I got a little something for you guys. I'll reveal a source here in a minute. Hold on.
No, boy.
Where is it?
Shout out to this guy.
Where is it? Damn it. Let me see. Let's pull it over on this one.
Here, you're going to switch things out on me?
I told him you were staying at the same hotel as him.
Oh, we've been talking. He knows I'm coming. He knows I'm coming for him.
I was looking for the, and you can write about all that you want on Fightful.com from Roman Reigns, but there you go. But no, that Gail Kim does not feed me news. Listen, you're going to find that out. Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable oral spray and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. So it's funny because I had everybody saying that Scott DeMore was feeding me news when he was there. I didn't talk to that man until he got fired. Then we set up Maple Leaf Pro interview. Listen, Mike Johnson's his dude. I think it's fairly evident there. I think they're buddies. It's okay. Somebody says you're watching the Wildcats Duke game. Buddy, different Wildcats for your boy. Kentucky Wildcats. Look, Kate says, why do people think people who tell scoops leave public paper trails? SRS's source is obviously Triple H and L Dandy. I would love if it was L Dandy. I've talked to Triple H before, not in like a scoop sense, but I mean, there's stuff that clearly came from his office in that sense. But you know why I don't hit up Shane Helms and ask him for scoops? Because I did a podcast with him years ago. If I'm tweeting somebody publicly, like you think that I'm going to just, they're going to make it that evident. But also, do you think these companies care? There is an unfireable wrestler that gave me quotes for Inside the Royal Rumble. And WWE PR walked up to them and said, did you talk to Sean Ross Sapp about this story? And they looked at him and they said, yeah. And he goes, how did you think this conversation was going to go? Are we good? And they were like, yeah, we're good. And this is like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir.
And they just yeah, and I'll drop in the chat who that was. In the private chat, it'll be
know. Yeah,
it'd be even funnier.
I already knew. That's what it is.
But like to say that, are you confirming or denying the L Dandy source? It's like, oh my god. Do you know how dumb this is? Like, let me just highlight again. SRS is sad that Gail was fired because she was probably the one leaking information to him. Norris Sparks, you fucking idiot. Hypothetically, let's say she was. Do you think that TNA scoops are more valuable to Fightful than any place she is about to work? Literally, the Robert Irvin Fit Crunch scoops might get me as many subscriptions at this stage. But like, this woman is going to work somewhere. So you think that would affect me? I had everybody say, Dijak was feeding him scoops. Scoops. Man, guess that's why we still got those Raw and SmackDown rundown. I'm too tired for this, Joel.
Oh, welcome to this. Yeah, you know.
Too tired for this. And just this, the asinine stuff. Like, who talks to media? Everybody!
The one thing I always tell people is there are so many people that you don't know working for these companies.
Yes.
That you don't know. You'll never know them because they have jobs and they just happen to there's just a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's that's the funny thing is that people like, and I just want to make fun of him again because he's an idiot. Where was he? Where was his stupid little picture?
It's up there.
There we go. There you go. Going to somebody else's graduation in that picture.
Damn. That's
what he was doing there. Wasn't his own. That, like, at this stage, these people, like, it's not like some gigantic secret. Do you all not see WWE invites us to these events? Like, it's the way the media works. It's not like, this is not 1993 anymore, guys. It's not the same. Oh my God. It's unreal. Unreal.
You don't like people who say nothing, but Steve Macklin talks to you, Joel. Therefore, he gives you all the information.
That's a funny thing. That's a funny thing. When people will be like, they don't have sources. And it's like, we've got literally over, we had 300 plus interviews last year. 300 people were willing to get on screen with us here.
And we're still sitting on that Macklin interview from February.
We're still sitting on the Macklin interview. Shut up. I'm sitting on two interviews that I filmed in North Carolina in November.
Yep.
Because we've had so many. Observe this, brother. That's what they think that this is. They think that all these wrestlers, that to the point to where when I, like me and Mia Yim will joke with each other, people are like, oh, Mia Yim clocked him. Like, y'all know, like, we get along, right? Like, she said very nice stuff about me publicly before. Like, I don't know why there's this weird attitude. But you know what? I shouldn't be surprised because people act weird towards, you know, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, all that stuff. It comes with the job. I'm just shocked that people are, you know what? I don't want to say people. I am so shocked that Norris Sparks right here, who looks like he just got his first job at H&R Block and took this picture, is that dumb. Listen, I just want to say this. You got a great hairline, though. You got a phenomenal hairline. I will compliment you. Jealous of it.
We don't know how old that picture is. Damn. I said I wouldn't go that south. Said I wouldn't go there.
I just see that Gail posted a comment. Oh, I almost commented underneath it. Why? What happened?
I'm going to get so many weird messages tomorrow from not these people on the chat.
Jesus. Jesus, man. I mean, listen, these people pretended to be upset at one point that Kate and Alex happened to be at a concession stand when a women's match started. Like, come
not,
on. Now.
Not Pulaski, just so people know.
Yeah. Queen of the Ring.
Shout out to her. Great.
Well. Joel, I appreciate you having me, letting me interrupt your show.
Anytime. Should I go to Unbreakable?
Where's that at?
I hear it's in Las Vegas.
Well, our bank account at Fightful is not Unbreakable.
It's during Mania Week.
Listen, Patreon screwed us out of a smooth $15,000.
Insane.
By undercharging all of our previous subscribers for the last few months.
Hot damn.
So
it's okay. We're
about to be the best $5.99 in the business for a while because we have to change our price tier in order to fix it. But listen, Kate had to go take a big fat shit during a women's match, so therefore she hates women's wrestling. This literally turned her into a vegetarian. The situation.
I understand it. I get it. I really do.
Catch you guys later.
Take care, Sean. Joke's on him. I'm going to go to Bloodsport. Thanks for Sean Ross Sapp coming and joining us. As if you didn't know what Unbreakable was. Oh, it's at the Cox Pavilion. Someone asking, how is H&R Block catching strays? I don't even know where to go from here. Now the rest of this... The rest of the show is over, so have a good night. We still got to talk about the show, don't we? Oh, now you got to do those impossible tendies. I get it, Kate. I get it. Shout out to you. Shout out to Dave LaGreca coming in here. He heard busted open, and his ears kind of perked up. I'm like, oh, someone's talking about the show that Joel hates, even though Joel hosts this show. It's fine. It's just Muse, Joel One-ish. I had an earlier joke that I was going to make, but now I can't make it. So anyway, Rosemary's in the showers. I mean, not literally. The promo is taken in the showers, which is like the worst place to do a promo because the audio just kind of bounces everywhere. For some reason, they were able to get it nice and tight. I assume they did some AI magic to it. Maybe they didn't. Who knows? Maybe someone from production can let me know. She's still trying to get Xia Brookside to embrace the hate. Sorry, that's a John Cena thing. Embrace the shadow because you can't get too close to WWE story. So here you go. Santino with Sammy Callahan and Mance Warner. Old Mancer. They're wearing handcuffs. handcuffs. Covering TNA by myself is not a personal hell. I actually started on this website doing that. I did Homecoming. It was 2021, I think. That was my first post show ever that I'd ever done. I had done gaming streams. I'd done like two-man booth and all that stuff. My first solo outing was Homecoming 2021 for Impact at the time. So you can go check that out. It's somewhere in the Fightful YouTube archives. But Sami Callihan and Mance Warner are wearing handcuffs. They're sitting at a table with Santino Marella. Sami says Mance should be in jail with his family. Mance says he's a redneck. Whatever he takes is his. That's the digital media championship that he beat Sami at Sacrifice. But Sami's like, he threw power at my face. People are useless. And then Steph DeLander says, are you crashing out again? Throws a drink in Sami's face and it ends in chaos again. Santino was about to make an announcement. And I don't know if you caught this, but when they did the rundown for Santino makes a big announcement next week, pretty sure this is what the announcement is. And it's hopefully going to be something digital media championship related for Rebellion. Other than that, it just kind of exists. Ryan Lambert saying the Twitch streams were a time. We used to go till 3 in the morning. Sorry, we used to go publicly till 2 or 3 in the morning. And then Jeremy and I would chat until 5 in the morning. That was a time. COVID was a hell of an interesting time. But speaking of interesting, let's talk about Masha Slamovich versus NXT's JC Jane. This match had no business being as good as it was. When it started, I said to myself, JC Jane is getting a lot of offense, which is really weird considering who Masha Slamovich is. She is a beat-em-up type of woman who takes no shit. But JC Jane is taking it to Masha. We don't see this version of JC Jane in NXT. She's too busy being pretty girl who teams with Fallon Henley, and Fallon has been the person, the focus. JC is sneakily really good at this. She is the type of person that you can give a women's championship to, and if she performs the way she did tonight, she is a competent and believable women's champion. Whether that's NXT, main roster, I don't care. Even the knockouts after tonight, they went hard. Like, they did some good hard striking between Masha and JC. They did the running knees. They looked good. Like, they just really went for it. I liked it. If we got this version of JC Jane on NXT, you'd have a completely different JC Jane. Not this pretty girl in a faction. Break her out. Let her be this. I don't care much for the posing and the way she does her taunts. You can clean that up. That's a presentational thing. But, like, she can wrestle. I've always known that she can wrestle, but now she got to really, really emphasize that in this match because it was a great match. And yes, having someone to match up with like Masha Slamovich, that helps a big deal, but JC can go. And like Sean, who was just here, he's been singing JC Jane's praises for as long as anyone else has, if not longer. She's ready. She has been ready. This was a match that was a standout for her, and seeing people in chat saying, I hope Shawn Michaels and the crew see that. I hope that they do. Masha hits the spin kick, snowplow, wins the match, and then Karen Blanchard strikes again. Sure, whatever. Zaya Brookside, Ling Lee make the save, and then there's a look on JC's face, and then they got the nod from Karen. And so they're going to do a 6-woman tag. We'll talk about that when we run down next week. There's a backstager, or not a backstager, there's a little promo that was filmed. Santana, he's back in New York, or at least that's the way they're filming it. And he passes a bunch of Ali 2025 posters and he freaks out, rips them all down. He's kind of dealing with his own processing of losing to Ali. Ali is, again, this is the guy that should be facing Joe Hendry. This is a Rebellion. This should be the one. And Santana should be going after the title at UBS at Slammiversary. Like, I'm going to keep running that game. I'm going to keep telling you that's the way it should be. Santana winning that title from Ali at Slammiversary is the play, and if it wasn't before, then it should be here. Eric Young defeats Ace Austin in the match that opened on Sportsnet. So I got to see the finish to this match before they saw the rest of the match. Sinner and Saints with Eric Young. I like that they're still there. I like that they're getting involved. I like they're wearing pants this time with the masks, if they're going to do that, because last week was weird. If you're going to wear the gear, and it's just strange. Anyway, EY hits pile driver after Ace has to fight off Sinner and Saint again. Sinner and Saint sell absolutely wonderfully throughout the match for Ace Austin, and every time Ace has to take them out, Sinner and Saint are just right there to take whatever offense, and then Eric Young just gets to pick the bones, get the victory, and then it's just it's another movement towards a 6-man that involves Macklin and maybe Ace and a partner, or Macklin and the Rascals again. I don't know, but it looks like they're getting there. And by the way, shout out. Yeah, I see in the chat. Shout out to Chris Bay. If you didn't see it, we talked about it on last week's show, but it's happened since then. The benefit for Bay, that was FSW's big show. They ran it on Triller Plus. So if you have that subscription, you can watch the show right now on replay. This was a really fun show. Hammerstone was there, took on WWE's Karrion Kross in the main event. Chris Bay came out at the end of the night, had a few words. All the proceeds from that event went to Chris Bay. FSW's Joe DeFalco came on to In the Weeds, which is the morning show that I host with Jeremy Lambert on Fightful Overbook. That's our sister site. We had interviews with Joe before the show, and also Joe popped on totally randomly on Wednesday's show, maybe even Thursday's show. No, today's Thursday, so maybe Tuesday's show. Popped in on Tuesday or Wednesday. There'll be a standout interview just to get a little bit of catch up and talk about everything coming out of it. Yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff. Told us that Ricochet was getting married that weekend, so that's how we found out before y'all did on Wednesday's episode of Dynamite. So it was good stuff. Again, shout out Chris Bay. If you get to watch the replay, go ahead. Like Ryan's saying, he got the replay. Fun event. And thank you for letting me know that Joe was on my show on Tuesday, because I sure as shit couldn't remember. Joe Hendry comes out. I don't want to have to keep beating this drum, but I'm going to have to. He comes out, Joe does, and he reiterates, put this title up. Anyone, any company, anytime, just call Santino, make it happen. And then Elijah comes out. He says, I'm not your challenger, but I believe, so they're going to do another song. And they start doing You Got a Friend in Me. Randy Newman, he is not. You got your friend in me. Sorry, we're not going to do this. Then Frankie Kazarian comes out. Frankie's a bass player, legitimately a bass player in a punk band. So maybe like a step down. I'm a bassist. Frankie, if you're listening, I get it. You're not listening. But Frankie, I get it. Nobody comes out and does solo bass on its own. But you did it. Also, you're playing an Ibanez bass. Can we talk about this? Don't. You play five string. I play five string. There's three guitars right back here. I'm not going to open it up because there's other stuff in here too, but I get you. I play five strings. I get it. This is not for me. This whole segment is not for me, because again, they're not finding a serious storyline for Joe Hendry, who is their world champion. Every other story in this company is something better than this. And it feels like they're just killing time until they take the belt off of Joe Hendry. This doesn't work for me, at least. Other people might be interested in it. They might be invested in it. I'm not. I like that Kazarian's at least trying to fan the flames between Elijah and Hendry and just saying, like, you want to beat him up. You hate his guts. You just won't admit it. So go fight each other. I like that Kazarian's trying. He's trying to do something. They go to beat up Kazarian, do Elijah and Hendry, and then Kazarian slips out of the grasp of Elijah, and then he pushes Elijah into Hendry. They almost knock each other, but they stop, and then they start staring each other down, like, oh, maybe, maybe, but they do nothing, and then they do the na-na-na-na goodbye to Kazarian. I say it once, I say it again, a serious storyline for Joe Hendry. That's all I'm asking for. I don't think I'm asking for much. For those who thought that Hendry was going to show up on Raw this past Monday, I'm sorry, I got a bridge to sell you. That was always going to be Jimmy Uso. Not once did I think that they were going to bring in Joe Hendry for just because they were in Glasgow. Regardless, this was not it. And it continues to not be it. If you're going to get to the inevitable Elijah versus Joe Hendry match, just do it. Just get it out of the way. Nobody's sitting here in 2025 and being like, you know what a great TNA World Championship match would be? The guitar player and the guitar player. They're not. Just do the match. Do the match. Do it at Unbreakable and do Ali versus Hendry at Rebellion the next week. Just do it. Just get it out of the way. Have a good match for Elijah and Hendry on a plus event. WrestleMania week, people will be like, oh, look, it's Elias. Let's go see Elias at the TNA show while we're here for WrestleMania. Do that. And then move on and do the Ali and have Ali win, because it's time. It's been time. Coming back was it. Joe Hendry should be doing better, but they're not doing anything better with him. And as a result, if we're just going to play guitar and say, who wants to face me? And then nobody faces you. What are we doing? What's the point? Yeah, like Dex is in the chat. The Digital Media Championship has more of a story than the World Champion. And the Digital Media Champion is technically two people, and one of them won it in the divorce, quote-unquote, which is hilarious to me. Like, they made a story out of it. Steph DeLander divorces PCO. PCO did what he did, left the company, it's over, but they had the title. And she brings in Mance Warner, and now they're co-champions, and they defend as needed or as wanted. And it's a story. There's something there. There's just nothing there for Joe Hendry. A lot of will they, won't they, until Frankie Kazarian either cashes in or they do the Elijah match. Those are your options right now. And then Ali will pick the bones. And that's the way it should be right now. So main event time, Nick Nemeth with Ryan Nemeth defeat Leon Slater. Slater comes in hot. This is a great match for Leon Slater. Nick Nemeth knows how to work, knows his character, knows what he's doing. Sometimes I have trouble trying to figure out, you know, where Dolph Ziggler ends and Nick Nemeth begins. That's my own thing. I don't know how y'all feel, but Nick Nemeth is solid as they come, and having a guy like Leon Slater, who is young, who is comes in hot, like I said, and really knows how to work this style of match that Dolph Ziggler has been doing for, gosh, 20 plus years now, which is wild to think about. In Slater's first singles main event on TNA, he sold the Famouser from Nick Nemeth. So well did Leon Slater. Landed top of his head and just did the roll through. It was great stuff. Slater goes for the Swanton 450 at one point, and Nemeth knocks him down. And then eventually Slater hits what he's calling the twist of slate, where he kind of does the twist of fate, but instead goes forward, kind of turns it into a one percenter for EC3 fans out there, all two of you. And then he goes for the Swanton 450, and Nemeth gets the knees up. They do a bunch of good, believable near falls. Again, this match had a lot of really good workmanship in it. They knew what they were doing. Eventually, Ryan Nemeth grabs Lee on Slater's foot. Nick hits a super kick. Knick-knack, paddywhack, gets Nick Nemeth the win. And then post-match, the Nemeths attack Leon Slater. And then the Hardys come back. They run him off, and they announce it. Rebellion, brother team versus brother team. The Nemeths versus the Hardys for the tag titles. Why is this funny to me? Because when they ran down the next week on TNA Impact, which they haven't taped yet, they said the Hardys will appear for the first time since the incident at Sacrifice. I'm like, I already knew they showed up. So you got ahead of yourself. Steve Macklin's in action. I know y'all are very excited about that. Santino's going to make his groundbreaking announcement, which I feel like is going to be a .combat match for the Digital Media Championship or something else. Maybe it's going to be something that involves, you know, the TNA and NXT partnership going into Rebellion or going into Unbreakable. That would be nice. Kazarian's going to take on Elijah. Good, they should do it. And then you've got Karen, JC Jane, and then a mystery partner taking on Ling Lee, Zaya Brookside, and Masha Slamovich. Feels like the third woman's going to be Rosemary, and it's going to be awkward, but it's going to be fun. Rosemary and Zaya Brookside have a thing going. Ling Lee and Tessa had a match recently, and Masha is the Knockouts champion, and you got to do with Tessa again. So that's what they're doing next week. We'll see what they tape, because again, they're taping tomorrow and Saturday. We've basically ran out of time. No, we haven't run out of time, but we do have a super chat from Dex Baker saying the fact that the elegance is, I appreciate you writing it out that way, by the way, were attacked by the heels, the real heels, after their clean win is disgusting. This is for Ash's Aussie vacation. So she's away and Nick Nemeth is away, and they're not going to be on TV for the next 4 weeks. And again, I said at the top of the show, I don't know why we're doing this. I just know that going back to Leon Slater, because I see it in the chat, Leon Slater is the next guy to win the X Division title. He needs to beat Moose. That needs to be the moment. And I really, really hope that Moose retains the X Division championship at, I guess he's doing it at Rebellion. I was hoping they would do X Division, the Ultimate X. I was hoping they would do that at Unbreakable so that he can have a one-on-one match against Slater at Rebellion and have the title change hands there. But I guess if they don't want Moose to eat a pinfall for whatever reason, because they want to move him up to a world, I don't know. But or maybe it's going to be Moose versus Edward Edwards coming out of this whole thing, where Moose is the heel and Edward Edwards is the baby face. I don't know. We'll see where it lands, but now I'm just kind of putting it through my brain, and where does the alignment fit the system? If they lose Edwards, they're going to feud with Edwards for a while, but for now Moose. I do think Leon Slater is next up for that X Division championship. Would not hate that whatsoever. But you know what? Thanks again for Sean coming in, talking about all the departures. I know y'all, you've heard it a million times. It is not, how do I put this? It's not lost on us the impact that a lot of these men and women have on the work they do. It's shocking this time around. It was shocking when they lost Scott. This time's a little different because there's been tangible growth. Scott was like, we rebranded. Scott brought them out of the bad Impact days, and then the rebrand was good and was seeing success, and there was a team there. The Scott thing was different. With Gale, it's like we have proof, tangible proof, along with everyone else that we mentioned that got fired. Everyone else that comes with some sort of tangible work. That was very strange. Tangible growth. No talk of the colognes. Yes, this was, as I understand it, just a tapings and we're done. They did a street fight with the Hardys for the house in El Paso. I don't think that they're sticking around. I'm pretty sure the colognes were just kind of bye. Yeah, like Ryan saying that losing Gale was like losing their hearts. And I think that's a pretty fair statement. We'll see where it goes. Again, the last time they did this, they went into No Surrender after Scott was fired, and they put on a good show. And they're probably going to put on a good show at Unbreakable and over WrestleMania weekend, and I'm sure it's going to be great. But the long-term effect is really what we're going to be tracking and what we're going to be thinking about. We'll find out where that lands. So for now, I'm going to get out of here. I'm in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but it's a five-day-a-week show. So Monday to Friday, we run In the Weeds as our Fightful morning show. We talk about wrestling and the rest of the stuff. That's over on our sister channel. That's Fightful Overbooked. Go check that out. I'm back next week, probably, with Crest the Star. I don't know where I'll be. I'll be around, but I'll be here. We'll talk about TNA. We'll talk about Impact. We'll talk about all the news. Why not? But for now, leave a thumbs up on the video, subscribe to the channel, do all the things. We appreciate you. And ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.